And we'll say more about all that later. I do want to read a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning, but I've got a good time clock up there, and I'm watching that. And so I don't have very long to share with you, but I do want to read this psalm. If I get the psalm read, that'll take care of most of it. As I go along in a few minutes, I'm going to have you to mark a little phrase that appears three different times in this passage of Scripture. Psalms 37, believe it or not, back when we did our graduation for all the graduates, I read this same passage of Scripture, but the Lord laid on my heart now for Senior Citizen Day as well. Notice Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And boy, I have a message. God gave me a message on that. All that crowd that plots against the people of God and is rebellious against the truth of the Bible, their day is coming. And the Lord is not, he laughs at them because their day is coming. They think they're going to win. They are losers. And they'll ultimately be dealt with. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the ways of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Will you draw a little circle around those two words? The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into the smoke shall they consume away. The wicked barreth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and forgiveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and his delight in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. The Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not the saints, they are preserved forever. Will you draw a little circle around those two words? Forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Will you circle those two words again? Forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and the tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him to his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. Will you bow together for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for touching Lynette and blessing our heart. Thank you for Calvary. And if it had not been for Calvary, Lord, we'd not be here today, wouldn't know salvation, wouldn't know the free pardon of sin, wouldn't have the Spirit of God living inside of us, wouldn't have a wonderful kindred relationship with all of the saints of God in this building, and for these 20 years to be blessed to be here and be a part of this fellowship. Lord, had not been for Calvary, our Father, we'd have no hope, no fellowship with you, no eternal home. But God, thank you that you loved us and gave your Son to die for all of us who have trusted you as Savior. And Lord, for all those who've not yet trusted you, I do pray that God, the Holy Ghost of God today would speak to them. And Lord, I pray now that you, Lord, speak to hearts in these few moments. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If there were no other Bible passages except for this one passage, when you read it and you see the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous, I'd rather know the Lord and be saved and trust him than to be wicked. I'd rather have a little and know Jesus than have a lot and spend eternity in hell. And my dear friend, when you read the end, when the end of the story is told, when you come down to the end of the road, what you've accumulated in this world does not matter. The one second after you're dead, everything you worked all your life for belongs to somebody else. But my dear friend, there's something that's more real than any of that. Somebody said, nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. I'm thankful that if you go through, and I had a little more time, I'd develop it, but I'm not going to develop it. But I went through this psalm, and I looked at all the things that don't last forever. True, there's some things that don't last forever. A lot of things, and thank God there are. There's some things that don't last forever. For instance, when you go through here and you look through here, you'll find out, number one, the wicked and the evildoers don't last forever. Matter of fact, he said in relative time to eternity, it's just a little while. The wicked shall be cut off. There'll be no more. You'll look for them. They've had a big, full life, but when you look for them at the end, you can't find them. They're gone, everything they had. The wicked be cut off. Now, you think about that. It seems to me sometimes worldwide that the wicked are in power. And those who will live for God, they are subjugated. They're put in as slaves. They're mistreated. They're abused. And all those things. And if you look at numbers, the number of the wicked and the number of those who live for God, the number of those who hold a high moral standard that the Bible teaches. I was sharing with a group on Wednesday night that I had heard a report that by the year 2020, only one-third of the American population would even confess to being Bible readers, not going to church, not being saved, not living faithfully like you do, most of you, three services a week. But I'm talking about people who even read the Bible, that only one-third of this nation will be considered themselves to be Bible readers, have a Bible and read it some during the day. But my dear friend, we are heading down the road to destruction as a nation, headlong. But thank God that's not the end for Christians. But the end of the wicked's coming. They're not going to be around forever. They won't be around forever. But not only, if you go on down through here and you look at it a little bit further, if you look at verses 12 through 17, and notice it says this, our enemies won't last forever. Thank God we've got battles on every hand. You war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But that battle doesn't last forever. Our enemies do not last forever. And I don't care what they do, what kind of armies they amass, what kind of technology they develop, but they will not last forever. He said in verse number 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. all the enemies of God's people, all the enemies of God Himself, will not last forever. They're not winning. They're not even close to winning. He is not anxious. He's not somewhere in heaven trying to come up with a new strategy how to overcome all of the wickedness in the world. He's got everything well in hand. And their days are numbered. And He knows their day is coming. He's God. And thank the Lord, He's in control of that. But not only that, but in verse number 24, notice what it says in verse 24, though he fall, that is the righteous, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Failure doesn't last forever. Everybody in here at some point in time has failed in something you attempted to do. Sometimes you think you failed the Lord in your faithfulness or in doing what God would have you to do. You've missed God in some area or you've yielded to the flesh in some area. But I'm glad that failure is not final with the Lord. But failure doesn't last forever. That's going to be over with. One of these days you may fall, but He said the Lord will lift you up. And thank God for that. Failure is not forever. But then notice something else. Time is not forever. Bible said, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. David said in verse 25, I have been young and now am old. It just seems like it's a short time. If you'll notice, there's just a comma between young and that statement and am old. Just a little mark. Not long between. I was talking to somebody the other day about age, you know. We were talking about how old people were, and I wonder how old I was. I said, well, I'll be 71 my birthday. And somehow or another, I thought it was way out yonder somewhere. And then I got to thinking, it's less than 30 days. Isn't that something? But, you know, it just seemed like yesterday. Praise God, I always mention this. I think about it, one of the happy times. I remember going across a little dirt road from my house over to my Uncle Carson's, Aunt Lucy's house, and they had an apple tree. I think about this time of the year particularly. And they had some of them big old green, Brother Corbett's got some. He got the same kind of apple tree. But there's the big green apple about that big. I'd go over there and I'd take a little salt shaker and put it in my pocket. I'd climb up my Uncle Carson's tree and sit there and eat green apples. I was happy. That was a good day. But it seemed like it was yesterday that I was doing that. But now it's been a little while. But you know what? Time doesn't last forever. There's coming a time, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, when time will be no more. Brother David Ross used to talk about, people say, you're going to spend eternity in hell. He said, no, you can't spend time in hell. It don't spend. There's no such thing as time in hell. It doesn't ever get closer to the end of it. It's forever. And forever and ever. And the Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. There's no such thing as time in hell. No such thing as time in heaven. Time will be no more. The concept of time will be gone forever. Isn't that something? Time doesn't even last forever. But then if you look a little further down through here, he says this, sickness doesn't last forever. I know people who've been sick for a long time and God miraculously healed them. I've known some who were sick and then God promoted them. They got to go to heaven, be with the Lord. And Gwen was talking about J.B. a while ago, and I think about him and Donnie. I think about some of the dear saints of God who've left out of here. And when I think about them, I remember those days. It was heart-rending to all of us when they went home, be with the Lord. But somehow or another, it's different now when I think about them. It's not like they died. Not like they died. Brother David Brad has shared a wonderful little truth with me. His son died. He mentioned that last Sunday night about his son dying. He didn't give you the circumstances, but he found his son dead in the bedroom at home. But David said it was a hard time, still a hard time for he and Angie. But he said, I was talking to him about, I'm going to bring a message very soon on about people who've lost children. I've had somebody ask me to do that, and I've been really praying, trying to get direction from the Lord. But David said, I share something with you to help me. And he said, you know, remember when Jacob, and when they had sold Joseph into slavery, he makes this statement, the daddy does. They bring in the bloody garment, and he says something to this effect, I will cry till I die because my son is dead. But then if you go a little bit later in the next few chapters over, he finds out he never was dead after all. He just thought he was dead, but he said he liveth. He never did die. Donnie never did die. Deborah never did die. JB never did die. They moved out of their body, but they're more alive right now than they've ever been. And after a while, that hurt goes away to a point, and you realize, thank God they're there. Sickness doesn't last forever. It's going to be over with one way or another. Either get promoted to heaven where there's no more sickness, sorrow, pain, or God will heal you. Thank God for that. It doesn't last forever. And sorrow doesn't last forever. The Bible said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And thank God, sorrow doesn't last forever. And then in verse 39 of this passage of Scripture, he said this, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. I'm glad that saints, we have trouble. He said, God's their salvation in a time of trouble. Being a saint doesn't eliminate your trouble, but troubles don't last forever. God can deliver us out of our trouble. One of these days, we'll ultimately, troubles don't last forever. And then he said this in verse number 19. He said, they shall not be ashamed in the time of evil. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Famine doesn't last forever for the children of God. You're going through a dry time now, going through a troubled time now. It won't last forever. But here's the thought I really want to give to you. I had you to circle three words for me. Notice in verse number 27. When all the dust is settled, when everything else is gone, what's left? Years ago, when I was pastor up in Reedsville, the Strader family were members of our church, and one of them kind of got a little bit of interest in his heritage and background. And they had some preachers in their family tree and so on. But anyhow, they had located one of them, and his name was Christian Strader. And they found out where he was buried at, and Erskine's been working on some of the local cemeteries and one of the local cemeteries and getting headstones for him. But anyhow, they somehow or another found out geographically where it was at. And they went there, and they had to go through this old cemetery, done growed up, everything else, and they cut around. And they found a little sandstone headstone and where it was supposed to be. And he said, Brother Bill, I want to show you a picture. And he showed me a picture. And it was a tombstone. And they had put the man's name on there and his date of birth and all that. But time had worn away that tombstone. His name was Christian something Strader. Such and such a date of birth, such and such a date. But all of that was gone. It was just very faint. You could just hardly even little indentions in that old stone. But the first word, first part of his name, looked almost like the day it was carved in there a few hundred years ago. It was Christian. Not Christian, but Christ. Christ is all that was left of him. But thank God when everything else is gone, when time is no more, there's no more sorrow, what's left? Well, there are three things here, and I'll be real brief. And I'm not preaching these. I'm going to just share them with you. There's three things that last forever. Number one, look at it, please, if you will, at verse number 27. And he said in verse 27 of this passage of Scripture, he said, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. You're going to dwell forevermore. You're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. You will dwell forevermore. Look at verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell there forevermore. Thank God. I'm glad that we have an inheritance. Well, I'm going to get that in a minute. But we have a dwelling place that lasts forever. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some people move from place to place to place, but one of these days you'll dwell forever in a place called heaven. Notice something else, if you will, please, in this passage of Scripture. He said in verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. I had a man to call me the other day, and he was real upset. And it had to do with his daddy's wealth and land and this, that, and the other. And he talked about the fact that there was a division among the children, siblings, and that it was not an equal division and all of this, that, and the other. And it had happened a long time ago. I'm talking about a long time ago. and it was already a done deal. I'm talking about years ago. But he said it was just worrying him to death because he felt like his daddy really wanted to go a different way and it didn't go that way. And, you know, I told him, I said, well, look, I said, you can't do one thing about that. And you can't change anything. You can't go back and undo anything. You ought to just praise the Lord and go on and think on the Lord. And I said, besides all of that, are you a Christian? He said, I am. I said, well, I tell you what, you have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It is forever. No stock market crashes in heaven. No thieves breaking through. No moth corrupting. Your inheritance in heaven is forever. It's safe and secure forever. Your dwelling place is forever. Your inheritance is forever. And thank God for that. Now look at verse 28. The Lord loveth the judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Your dwelling place is forever. Your inheritance forever. And then your preservation is forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life forever. Thank God, you're going to live forever. Sickness won't be forever. Pain won't be forever. Sorrow won't be forever. But you're going to live forever, preserved. I love the way the Holy Ghost God did that. Don't you like that word, preserve? What do you think about? I think about Miss Helen Stewart, gives to Regina sometime, pear preserves. Now, if you've never taken any of Miss Helen or some of these other ladies right here, their pear preserve, and bust open a biscuit and put that on there. Lord have mercy. Preserved. You see these people up here a while ago? They are preserved. They're just as sweet as sugar, praise God. Aren't you glad it didn't say you're pickled? Pickled lasts a long time too, but praise God, we're not pickled, we're preserved. Say amen. We have been preserved, not pickled. Amen. Thank God we're preserved. We're kept by the power of God. We don't have to endure, hold out, hold on, or nothing else. I'm glad that God's people have trusted him and rely on him. We're preserved. You say, Brother Billy, how in the world could I ever live like that? How could I have that kind of life? Good time, bad time. Brother Paul, Miss Peggy, Bob and Lee, they'll tell you that they've been through tough times. They've been through hard times. And all the rest of these folk around here, me and Regina, been through a lot of tough times. Good times and bad times. But thank God there's some things that don't ever change. Number one, your dwelling place, if you're saved, is forever. Your inheritance is forever. And thank God you'll preserve forever. How did all that come about? Look at the last verse of this psalm. He said, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, over and over again in this psalm, he used the word righteous, describing those people as being righteous. But it's not our righteousness that gets us to heaven. It's our trust. That word's used 152 times in the Old Testament. And it simply means the same thing it means in the New Testament. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what it means. It means those who have believed on him and rely on him and trust him with all of their heart. The word literally means in the Hebrew, it means to take refuge in, to lean on, to roll over on, or to stay on, which means to put all of your weight on it. So all your weight on it. It means we trust in him. How have we made it through all these years? Trust in Jesus. Been trouble? Oh, yeah, a lot of trouble. Sickness? Yeah, a lot of trouble. A lot of sickness, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. But you get through by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust him for your salvation. And he said he will help you and he will keep you and he will deliver you if you'll trust him with all of your heart. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? Thank God nothing lasts forever. That's not a true statement. You hear things all the time that's not true. Oh, there's a lot of things that don't last forever. But I'm glad your dwelling place lasts forever. I'm glad that your inheritance can last forever. And I'm glad that you can be preserved forever. Thank God for that. Because you trust in him. Now the question is this. Have you trusted yourself? trusted your own physical strength? Trusted your intellect? Have you worked hard and planned and you're relying on your retirement? Relying on things? That'll all be gone and up in smoke, just a matter of minutes. Just a matter of minutes. I hate to say it, but in the path of this hurricane, something people work for all their life will be gone in a matter of hours. You'll hear them on the news. You'll see them weeping. They say a lifetime, whole lifetime of work, lifetime of memories, everything's gone. Well, I'm glad my inheritance is forever. I'm glad my dwelling is forever. I'm glad I am preserved forever. And you know that by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you this morning can raise your hand and say, thank God, I know I'm saved. No matter what happens, I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand across the building? God bless you. Thank the Lord for you. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy saved us. And if you'll trust Him, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing He suffered and bled and died for you, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on Him. It's not because of our righteousness, but because they trust Him. That's the last statement. Believe on Him. Trust Him. Bottom line is, we don't know how to say it, but if you'd ask any of these senior saints, they'd say it's all Jesus. We've trusted Him. Been sunshine and rain, joy and sadness. But it's trusting Him through all of it, knowing that He loved us and died for us. And thank God there's some things that are forever because of Him. If you're here this morning, if you died right now, you don't know you'd go to heaven. You say, preacher, I wish you'd pray for me. I'd love to know Him. What a joy to know Him when you're young. Be able to live for Him all your life. Don't wait so long. Boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, trust Him now. He'll carry you through. He'll take care of you. And all the battles you have and all the enemies you have will one day be gone forever. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You say, preacher, I don't know that for sure. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Well, will you pray for me? Nobody's looking. But would you raise your hand across this auditorium? Let me pray with you. Just real quick. Let me pray with you. Anybody? Anybody? I want us, if you will, let's stand together. Brother Brad's going to sing one verse of a song. We're not going to keep you long, and we're going to dismiss our seniors first tonight, today, and let them go to fellowship hall in just a few minutes. But will you stand? Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus, I pray Your word would not return void. I pray, our Father, that, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will help people to understand that most of the time and effort and everything that we spent on amassing things and buildings and homes and land, it'll all be gone. It doesn't last forever. And God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the things that really count, that they'll know for sure, that they have a home, a dwelling forever in heaven. They have an inheritance forever in heaven. And that they are preserved, they are saved forever. Pray, God, they know that this morning. Lord, I didn't see a hand, but You saw the heart. God, I pray they'll not hesitate, but they'll take a step of faith right now. And God, for those of us who are saved, Lord, I pray, God, that You'd speak to hearts. Lord, some people here, our Father, love You. They've been saved, but God, they've been out of fellowship with You. Hadn't been faithful to You, faithful to Your house. And God, maybe this morning You spoke to their heart about what really is important, what's really important. And God, I pray this morning they'll come, get around this altar, rededicate their life to the Lord. God, we'll thank You and praise You. While we're praying with our heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brad sings one verse of a song, You Come. If we can pray with You around this altar, we want to do it. You obey Christ and come now. Just come quickly. We'll not be long, but we got time for You, plenty of time. Whatever God speaks to your heart about, You come right now. Come join these here who are coming now.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy. the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust.
Just trust Him. Those that trust Him, He'll help, He'll deliver, He'll save. Just trust Him.